coming to this question of if India was a land of spirituality, why was it overrun by foreign invaders for so many centuries, and why is the colonial mentality even now there? Yes, see, spirituality is something which has to be understood and applied properly. If it is not understood and applied properly, then it can lead, then there can be a appearance of spirituality, but the substance of spirituality may not be there. So in India, when we talk about India as a land of spirituality, it is primarily the culture. There is the cultural aspect of spirituality, there is the intellectual or philosophical aspect of spirituality, and there is the social aspect of spirituality. Culturally, we can say it's the practices. You go to temple, have puja, have art, that's culture. There is the philosophical intellectual aspect where we understand the wisdom. And the social aspect is, okay, how is this to be applied in our social interactions? So in India, over the centuries, the Bhagavad Gita talks about a system of social division called Varnashram. Varnashram is the division of society according to innate psychological dispositions. There are some people who are intellectuals, some people who are managers, some people who are business people, some people who are general assistants. This, over the centuries, became distorted as the caste system. And now the difference between what the Bhagavad Gita teaches as Varnashram and what is called the caste system is that the Bhagavad Gita teaches that this division is based on Chatur Varnam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasya. It is based on qualities and activities. But the caste system that was present in India, that was primarily based on birth. So a person who is the son of a Brahmana thinks that I am a Brahmana. Say tomorrow I am going by a flight to India. If I ask who is driving the flight, say so and so person. No, is he a pilot? Is he a trained? No, is he a trained pilot? No, he's the son of a trained pilot. Well, but is he a trained pilot? No, he's the son of a trained pilot. Well, I don't want to go to that plane, you know. Just the son of a trained pilot is not necessarily a trained pilot. So what happened was, this whole idea came up in India that just because somebody is born in a particular caste, they automatically belong to that caste, that they have the power and privilege of that caste. So the two primary upper castes, the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas, both of them became corrupted by this idea. So Brahmanas are the storehouse of intellectual power, and the Kshatriyas are meant to be the storehouse of social or political power. So both of them to some extent became corrupted, and because of that, the Kshatriyas, instead of using their power and position to protect others, they often got caught in petty dissensions. And when invaders came from outside, they were just caught in their own petty conflicts and they were overrun. So it is not so much the spirituality that caused the problem, it is the partial application of spirituality, by which, rather than the spiritual understanding of life fostering cooperation, it started fostering an entitlement mentality and started fostering discrimination. Having said that, we have to recognize that when people are spiritual, the spirituality is meant to lead to all-round contribution. So, although at one level India politically was overrun by others, but still throughout the centuries, India kept making its contribution. Even when the Britishers came to India, they came because India was still prosperous. Although there was the Islamic rule for starting from something like 11th century, you can say, 7th centuries was there, still India was prosperous. So, the core spirituality that was there in terms of people having a spiritual culture, that kept India prosperous even when the politically it was overrun by others. There were plunders, but because the culture was itself spiritual, it kept resurfacing, the prosperity kept coming. But when the British rule started, the attack was not just social or political, the attack was also on the culture. many of the Islamic invaders, they destroyed temples. But the Britishers, they often destroyed the faith that made people go to the temples. And that attack was much more insidious. Now again, when I say either Islamic invaders or Britishers, I'm not putting one label on everyone. No. Even among Muslim rulers, there were many who were liberal and broad-minded. Even among Britishers, there are many who thought that actually we are doing good to India. They're thinking that India is primitive and we are civilizing them. So, but yes, we can. If you look at the overall influence, it was a corrosive influence. And especially by the time India got independence, India had developed a very colonial mentality. So on August 15, 1947, India independently became dependent on the West. India got its independence, we became politically independent, but still we remained culturally dependent. And because of that, the whole idea was that till recently, if you see, India, cricket is considered the national game of India. But actually, India is not a cricket mad country. India is a international cricket mad country. Now, if a cricketer performs very well in a domestic tournament, nobody cares. If a player performs well in an international tournament, even, now we are so great. So that mentality has been fostered, I would say, largely because of the colonial education that came during the 150-200 years. And unfortunately, after independence also, we did not really change course. We followed more or less the same trajectory, although we had political independence. So that's why that has not changed. Now, if you see, there's a book written by Philip Goldman. It's called American Veda. And the book is whole about how Indian spirituality penetrated in the American heartland. Talks about how so many spiritual teachers went from India, and now yoga has become mainstream. Being vegan is becoming very popular. Meditation is also very popular. So many people in the West are now choosing to be cremated rather than buried. So many of the cultural practices of India have gone to the West, and from the West, when they are coming to India, we are taking it up more. This is just unfortunate, but as India progresses, as we start recognizing the value of our spirituality based not on cultural factors but on intellectual factors, so what has happened is because our cultural faith was destroyed by the education coming from the West. So we started thinking that everything Western is better. So when the Indian spirituality is presented from the West, oh, it's good. But when we start getting spiritual education, when our faith is not just cultural, it's also intellectual, then we don't need our culture to be vindicated by the West to accept it. When we understand it intellectually, and then we evaluate it and we appreciate it, then if we take it up, it will be based not on what the world is appreciating it, but because it has its intrinsic worth. So in India, unfortunately, the spiritual wisdom of the Vedic literature is not taught at all. Even if it is not to be taught as a religious text, it could at least be taught as a wisdom text. That means, okay, this is a book of wisdom, which is the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads. These are books of wisdom that originated in India. And we may not believe them as absolute truths, but at least what they are taught needs to be taught. What they are teaching needs to be taught. Unfortunately, because that is not happening, so we don't have that intellectual access way to our own tradition. So the more we make that intellectual access way available for people, then instead of this being external reference needed for applying, for appreciating what we have, we can become more spiritually self-confident about our own tradition. Does that answer your question?
It does, and in fact, I'll